Welcome in. It's the Creighton Athletics Hour, 1620 The Zone, 1620thezone.com, and on the trusty, never broken 1620 The Zone mobile app. Thanks so much for joining me for yet another Tuesday night. A very snowy, dangerous, life-threatening snowy Tuesday night. Hope you're all being safe. Drive slowly. Do or don't pump those brakes. I'm not a car guy. I don't really understand when you do or when you don't pump brakes when it's snowy out. But if you are a car guy or a car gal, I'm sure you know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about. You know. But just be safe. I do want you to listen to the Creighton Athletics Hour, but if listening to this fine program causes you to not be totally aware of your surroundings and what you're doing behind the wheel of a car, I'll understand. I will understand. But this also gives me the opportunity to throw out the offer once again, because it's my lifelong dream to know that people are in front of a fireplace listening to the Creighton Athletics Hour. So if that is you tonight, even if it's not you, just stage a picture. Humor me for a second. Take a picture of your radio or your cell phone tuned into 1620 The Zone in front of a fireplace and send it to me via Twitter at CJ Lathrop. That's all I want. That's all I want in life. I feel like I have everything else. This is the last of the things that I want. So tons of stuff to get to on tonight's show. Got obviously a ton of basketball. Baseball wrapped up their season opening series against Arkansas Little Rock. Got a sweep, including a thrilling 12-10 victory in extra innings to wrap up the series. Talk a little bit about that later on. Great start for Ed Service and his group. Creighton women got a win over the weekend. They split their two weekend games, one against a loss by 20 at Hinkle Fieldhouse, and then had a roaring comeback. Great win in Cincinnati on Sunday against Xavier. But I do want to start with what we saw with the men's team. Oh boy, stop me if you've heard this one. Creighton held a lead at the under 4-minute timeout and lost a basketball game. Feel like we've heard that before. I mean, at this point, I don't even know what to say anymore. And that's hard for me to do. Trust me. I have run out of ways. I have run out of original thoughts when it comes to attempting to explain this Creighton basketball team right now. The previous three losses before Sunday, they all happened in different ways. They were all frustrating ways in their own right. But man, Sunday afternoon, it looked like this team has the yips. Like, just not being able to do anything right when it's really important to do so. Just looks like this team has just, once the clock hits 4 minutes, it's like this team just forgets how to play basketball. And I know that's not the case, but man, does it look like that. But the previous three losses before Sunday, Villanova, you could excuse. You could. Because it's Villanova at the Pavilion. To me, it was a miracle that Creighton was even in a position to win that game, given all the injuries that they had to overcome. But man, Caleb hits three free throws there at the end of the game, and who knows? Maybe we are talking about this season and this team in a completely different light. Maybe Caleb Joseph, and trust me, the way I'm phrasing this probably isn't the best, but I don't want to sound like I'm pinning all of this on Caleb Joseph, but If he hits those three free throws and Creighton figures out a way to win in Philadelphia, I think it's very plausible that that springboards them into certainly playing much better than they have. But, you know, kind of if ifs and buts were candy and nuts sort of thing. That didn't happen. Creighton lost. Then they move on to Seton Hall. Really not too much different than the second time they lost to Seton Hall on Sunday. Creighton gets hot for a stretch, gets a lead, then goes completely cold in the final moments. Only to see Seton Hall's Miles Powell just get red hot and win the game. The Xavier game. Almost a week ago. Kind of felt like the Marquette game all over again, didn't it? Creighton appears to make big-time shots late. I think I tweeted this out. You know, Martin Krumpel hitting that three in the corner late in the Xavier game felt like the first clutch shot that this team has made for several weeks. But it didn't matter. It didn't matter because, once again, Creighton couldn't execute an inbounds pass. Essentially throws a touchdown to Quentin Gooden right in front of his own basket. Game goes to overtime. Creighton loses. Those three games had moments where it looked like the course that this team is on was going to change. I don't know about you. Sunday afternoon against Seton Hall at the CHI Health Center, just watching it looked like a foregone conclusion that this team was going to find a way to lose even when they had the lead in the final minutes. Even when other aspects of the team looked different than the previous three games. Marcus Zagorowski was back in the lineup. And that offense looked night and day different than the previous three games. Even with a bum hand and not being able to do as much shooting the ball and finishing around the basket, having Marcus Zagorowski in the rotation just helps everything. And for the first time in several games, Crane's offense looked to be back on track for a lot of that one, and they scored 75 points. But even with all of that being better, once Creighton started to struggle offensively at about the 8-minute mark, it just felt like it was over. Right? Am I alone? It just felt like it was a foregone conclusion that Seton Hall was going to figure it out and Creighton was going to give it away. Because that's what this team has been doing for the last 3 weeks. There's no question at this point that this stuff is in their heads right now. I don't see how it can't be. And real quick, maybe I'll get into this more tomorrow night on Shoot Around with Matt DeMarinis. But honestly, I'm making the mistake of addressing the vocal minority, but I am having trouble figuring out how Greg McDermott is to blame for all these losses. I really am. What I'm seeing are a lot of sloppy turnovers. I'm seeing a lot of missed shots. I'm seeing blown inbounds passes. All of those things, to me, are on the players. And I think sometimes with college sports, we can shy away or be almost afraid of blaming players. It's easy to blame coaches. It's easy. They make millions of dollars. It's easy to blame coaches. To me, that's low-hanging fruit. But why I look at all these losses, and I'm not sure how coaching is directly responsible. I don't see it. Mitch Balick had a guy wide open in the corner against Xavier, and he decided to throw a touchdown pass to Quentin Gooden. I don't see how that's coaching. But regardless, perhaps we'll get into that more on Shoot Around tomorrow. But the one coaching question that I have, and I don't even, it's not even really questioning Mac. Because honestly, and you can call this an excuse, but I mean, that's your prerogative. But I just don't think, I really don't think he was expecting to have this roster coming into the season. And because of that, you know, Creighton doesn't have that, quote, go-to guy. They just don't have it. That's why there just looks to be a lot of uncertainty offensively with this team right now, especially in crunch time. Because there isn't that clear-cut guy that needs the basketball. Marcus Foster was that guy for 2 years. Now he's not there. Nearly every team in this conference has that. Seton Hall, we all saw that's Miles Powell. Villanova, it's either Phil Booth or Eric Paschal. St. John's, it's Jamori Ponds. Butler, Kamar Baldwin. DePaul, Max Strus. Marquette, Marcus Howard. Creighton, who would you name there? Some of you might say Mitch Ballack. Some of you might say Tyson Alexander. Some of you might say Marcus Zagorowski. Some might say Martin Kroppel. But that's really the point. That shouldn't be a tough question. That shouldn't be a question that elicits a lot of thought. You should just be able to say it like that. Creighton doesn't have that. And I think that is what's leading to a lot of this almost dysfunction offensively late in games, because it's not understood who needs to have the ball. Maybe that's oversimplifying it. It probably is. But I do think it's a part of it. I really, really do. This team doesn't have an alpha. This team doesn't have the go-to guy. And until they find that, I think they're going to continue to have these struggles. I really do. You know, with only a few more opportunities left, I really don't think they're going to find a guy to rise up like that this season. But overall, man, been a frustrating month if you're a Creighton fan. You know, as a guy who covers the team but doesn't live and die with them, I truly, truly feel for all of you. I get it, because who I root for is Iowa. And trust me, they've done this before. It hurts. And it's hard to not walk over to the ledge and just completely jump off with 2 feet. I get it. And man, I feel for you. My heart goes out to you, because this team just right now seems to almost be on a mission to figure out different ways to lose games. They got DePaul tomorrow night. Our coverage will begin at 6 o'clock with Blue Jay Shootaround. John Bishop, Taylor Stormberg will call the game after we're off at 7:30, this team needs a win. This team needs a win in the worst way. Perhaps it comes tomorrow night in Chicago against DePaul. 402-951-1620, 1-877-951-1620. Those are the numbers. Call if you want to be a part of the show. You can hit me up on the JTech Construction Zone Twitter feed. I'm at CJ Lathrop. Or you can send me an email on the Equitable Bank Zone inbox. Equitable Bank, we take banking personally. EquitableOnline.com. Corey, Corey, at 1620thezone.com. Great show lined up tonight. To close the show, I'll be joined by Creighton assistant coach Alan Huss. We'll play some post-game audio after that loss to Seton Hall on Sunday. But coming up next, Creighton head women's basketball coach Jim Flannery will join me here on the Creighton Athletics Hour, 1620 The Zone.
You're listening to the Creighton Athletics Hour on 1620 The Zone, Zone app, and 1620thezone.com. Here's Corey Lathrop.
Creighton Athletics Hour, 1620 The Zone. Corey Lathrop here with you. Nick Grimm back there, frantically pushing buttons. Not wearing his, what was that, a maroon Home Depot hat today. Today's really when the maroon Home Depot hat should have come on. Really, it's really kind of disappointed that it's not there. Just got done talking about the week that it's been, the 3 weeks that it's been, really, for the Creighton men's basketball team. But Creighton women got a big win on Sunday. had to come back from being 42-31 down on the road against Xavier in Cincinnati. And to talk about it, we're going to catch up with Creighton head women's basketball coach Jim Flannery here in a little bit. But really impressive win considering, man, Creighton stars didn't really play all that particularly well. Audrey Faber went 1 of 12. Jalen Agnew went 0 of 7. Can't imagine if I were to give you those stats that very many times that would end up in a Creighton win, but that's exactly what happened on Sunday afternoon. And to talk about it a little bit more, let's head over to the phones. Bring on our next guest, Creighton head women's basketball coach Jim Flannery. Coach, how are you?
Hey, I'm good, Corey. How are you?
I'm doing great. And, you know, I just mentioned it. I want to ask you, if I were to tell you before a game, Coach, Audrey Faber is going to go 1 of 12 today. Jalen Agnew is going to go 0 of 7 today. You think your team's winning that basketball game, Coach?
Yeah, no, you would have had to be playing me and Glenn Sisk and three other people in the department to have any chance to win that game if those two are going 1 for 19.
Hey, man, Glenn, I think Glenn can back you down a bit. I wouldn't underestimate that guy.
Thought I'd get a shot in at him. But, no, it was, you know, at halftime I looked at the stat sheet and those two were 0 for 11 and we were down 5. And I said to the staff, I said, well, we're in pretty good shape because there's no way that Audrey and Jalen can shoot it like they did that first half. And I was right. They were 1 for 8 the second half.
Yeah, a grand improvement
really
there, Coach. Yeah. So, Coach, I remember last March – A video surfaced of you dancing on the team bus after your team beat Iowa in the NCAA tournament. I'm wondering how often does that come out, and was a double-digit comeback on the road this weekend worthy of putting those dancing shoes back on?
No, but I did do a reverse layup in warm-up lines.
Nice.
I had my pink shoes. It was a pink out, so I had my pink shoes on, and I actually did that for our home pink out against Seton Hall. I did a highlight reel reverse layup, and since we won that game, and I was wearing the same pink shoes, I thought I'd bring it back out. So that might be my go-to the rest of the year. Might be to put my pink shoes on for warm-ups, make one layup, and then put my dress shoes on if I have to. I guess
I can support that. Save the dancing for the postseason. Save us for something big.
Yeah.
So 8 minutes left against Xavier. Your team is down 42-31. What was your message to the team in the huddle before they mounted that comeback?
Well, I said we're not making shots. We got to get an extra shot or two. And so we talked about just doing a better job on the offensive glass. And then we did something we normally do, which is to press. And we, you know, had our three-quarter court zone press that we – And I'm not, you know, it wasn't like we forced turnovers, but I do think it got Xavier out of rhythm a little bit. And I think it, you know, sometimes I think when you're struggling offensively, the best way to get your players to get out of their own heads about what you're doing offensively is to just change defenses and make them have to think about what we're doing defensively, or just, you know, give them a defensive you know, give them something different defensively to take their mind off the fact the ball isn't going to basket. So, but it started with an offensive, Tammy Sarda gets an offensive rebound. And, Tatum Rembau came in and gave us two runners in the lane at the basket, baskets. And then we hit a couple threes and we're right back in the game. So, but we said, you know, we got to get extra shots. And then we decided we were going to press. So I don't know if that's our formula going forward, but we do have to get better at manufacturing offense. And that means we've got to get a little bit more out of our transition game. And then we've got to become a little better offensive rebounding team because we haven't shot the ball well lately. So you got to get more shots.
Jim Flannery is my guest, Creighton head women's basketball coach. Flan, one of those players that has created offense and did create offense on Sunday was Livia Elder, who once again hit a big shot, and this one ended up being the game winner against Xavier. How impressed have you been with her this season, especially in those clutch moments? Because that wasn't the first big shot that she's made this year.
No, and you know, that's, you know, Olivia has not been healthy this year, and it's probably, you know, that's been one factor probably in not having the year that we kind of had hoped for, is that she's, you know, she's had, her knee hasn't really responded as well as we'd hoped from her surgery last year, and then she was out for a couple weeks with the concussion, and she can really, you know, she can score the ball. I mean, coming into the year, we felt like she was, you know, kind of the not talked about third, you know, third scorer that we had returning behind Audrey and Jalen. And so when she's healthy and she's, you know, able to practice and get in a rhythm, she can score the ball. And yeah, she had the, you know, five really huge points. I mean, we had come back, taken the lead, and then they had a three-pointer, and they'd gone back up four, and she had an and one at the rim to cut it back to one with about a minute and a half to go, and then she had the game winner with under 30 seconds. So she's, you know, she's good. She's clever on ball screens. I mean, we can put her and Audrey in a ball screen, and she does a good job of kind of being patient and taking what they give. And then she's got a good in-between game. I mean, especially for somebody 5'7", I mean, typically those kids are not, you know, are pretty much just standstill shooters, but she's got a good in-between game. So those two baskets that she got were obviously big. And so hopefully she can stay a little bit healthier than she's been, because like we need her as a scorer, especially, you know, on a night where Jalen and Audrey are seeing the best defenders and seeing the kind of focus that they got and attention that they got against Xavier.
Now, the other player that really made a huge play to salt away that victory on Sunday was Rachel Saunders, getting that block out of on the perimeter. Now, a couple games ago, after your win against Seton Hall, Jalen Agnew let us know that Rachel Saunders gets the most hyped on your team. So I imagine that showed itself again after that huge block on the last possession.
Yeah, she was leading the emotion brigade. She's a, you know, I love her energy, and I told her, you know, her dad played football at Iowa. I was a running back, so I texted him after the game and I said, I'll bet Hayden Fry never saw you block like that block that Rachel had. Never saw Saunders block like I saw today. And so he texted me back and said that Rachel had already called him twice and texted him twice. So she was a little hyped about that play. But Rachel's done a really nice job for us as a freshman. She's, you know, we were going offense for defense late. So we'd taken Olivia off the floor and put her in defensively. But having said that, you know, she got us six points in a low-scoring game. So she did her job offensively too.
Coach, obviously this season hasn't gone the way that you'd hoped, but
sure.
Has it been challenging to keep your team's spirits up, even in some of the losing streaks that you've gone through?
Not as much as I would have thought. I mean, I think it's human nature that you maybe feel a little sorry for yourself, but I really haven't seen it. I've told people I've enjoyed going to practice. I don't feel like our kids have had a lot of that feeling sorry for themselves. And part of it is, you know, I think we have a good, our young kids are good emotional leaders, like Rachel, Peyton Brodsky, freshman's a good, you know, good bench, you know, and Tatum Rembau, sophomore. Those kids do a good job of getting our team ready. I think that's been good. You know, we have good kids, and I think they understand that some of it was out of, you know, some of the injuries have been out of our control. And so everybody knows that we're trying. You know, I heard Mac talk a while back about, you know, you just got to kind of stay the course. And I think that's been the challenge as a coach. It's like, when you struggle, you want to tweak a little bit. And we've done that. And then you find out that maybe that doesn't work. So then you tweak a different way and that isn't quite working. And then, you know, so the challenge I think has been to just stay the course and not change anything, or, you know, what small changes do you make? And then once you make a change or two, you know, how long do you see, how long do you go before you say, well, that's not working, we got to do this. And I think the players have bought into the small changes. They've bought into, hey, we need to, you know, because of our injuries, we need to do this, and we need to change what we're doing offensively or in some ways. And so I think I always talk a lot, but I do think that they've done a good job of mm-hmm. kind of saying, you know, we'll take what coach has given us and try it. And like I said, the proof for me is that I don't go to practice thinking that they're not ready to try to get better and that it's difficult for them to focus or give effort. And I think that's a huge indicator of where they are mentally.
Jim Flannery is my guest, Creighton head women's basketball coach. Flan, you got 3 games left here before the conference tournament. What are some things that you'd like to see get better with your team between now and then?
Sure. Well, we need to just do a little bit better job of moving without the ball and spacing the floor. I feel like we've gotten away from that a little bit. And I think, you know, as you get later in the year, teams know what you're going to do. So it does come down to some degree to making plays. Like you've got it, but to do that, you've got to have space. And sometimes we haven't done a great job of spacing the floor. And then, like I said, we have to be a consistent, we have to be a little bit better rebounding team. And then just, you know, we're going to have to take care of the ball. One of our biggest problems over the last month has been taking care of the ball. But again, that goes back to spacing to some degree. I think if we space the floor better and just trust that we have good enough players to make plays, that we can be a lower turnover team. And that's, I think, big too, because I think, you know, at the end of the year, like I said, when teams know each other really well, turnovers and offensive rebounds are such a big part of the equation, because they're ways that you can score without running your half court offense.
Jim Flannery, Creighton head women's basketball coach. Flan, thanks so much for your time tonight. And good luck this weekend against Providence, man.
Okay, sounds good. Thanks, Corey.
You got it. Jim Flannery, Creighton head women's basketball coach. Always good to catch up with Flan. Yeah, his team's got a week off here. They'll play Providence this coming Saturday. Look to inch a little bit closer to getting back to 500 on the season. But a great win for this team on Sunday, 53-52. Roaring comeback on the road against Xavier. 402-951-1620. Well, a team that needs a little bit of mojo right now is, of course, the men's team. They dropped another one late against Seton Hall on Sunday. We'll play some post-game audio after that one next here on the Creighton Athletics Hour, 1620 The Zone.
You're listening to the Creighton Athletics Hour on 1620 The Zone, Zone app, and 1620thezone.com. Here's Corey Lathrop.
Creighton Athletics Hour, 1620 The Zone. Thanks for joining me tonight. Just wrapped up a great conversation with Creighton Ed women's basketball coach Jim Flannery. If you missed any of that, you can check it out on the podcast a little after 7 o'clock. All right, so the Creighton men dropped yet another one late, this time at home against Seton Hall, 81-75. And after the game, obviously some somber Blue Jays. Talked to Taylor Stormberg and John Bishop. We'll start with Tyshawn Alexander. John opened up the conversation by asking Tyshawn, what's making it so difficult to end these games?
Mostly it's just some of us, we go out there and try to do things on our own and try to make the right plays. But at the end of the day, like, the right play is to always keep on with the game, like our game.
Gameplay. Yeah,
thank you. Our gameplay. And it's obviously, it just worked. We picked up that lead and we found guys that had open shots, and that's how it was working. But at the end of the day, we just didn't stick to it and turned the ball over, and that's how it just went.
Looking at a positive, you talked about picking up that lead, especially the first 12 minutes of the second half. You started getting going with threes. You had 20 points in the second half, and the offense seemed to be clicking. What was different from your perspective in that first 12 minutes of the second half?
I just picked up what I needed to do to help my guys out. The first half, I wasn't playing the right way I was normally supposed to play, and I just knew in my head, like, my mom was probably cussing me out at the same time. So I just knew I had to pick it up, help my team out, and come out here and just play hard.
That's Tyshawn Alexander after his team's 81-75 loss against Seton Hall. Now on to Coach McDermott. John Bishop opened up their conversation with Coach Mack by asking him what can he tell his guys now after four losses in a row?
They're not in a good place right now. I said it in the media room, like, the crowd was awesome today. We appreciate that so many people came out on when the weather's not great. But these guys need our fans now more than ever. I mean, they're in a bad, bad spot. And it's our job as a coaching staff to get them through it. There were some uncharacteristic mistakes for the game. I mean, we only had 8 turnovers going into that last 3 or 3.5 minutes for the game, and did a really good job against their pressure, taking care of the basketball, and then coughed it up, you know, on the top of the floor where it leads to baskets going the other way, which you just can't do in that situation. So our guys are beating themselves up. We got to make sure they learn from it, but at the same time, it's going to take everything that our coaching staff has to try to get this group through it, get their chins back up, and begin our preparation for an important game on Wednesday.
Coach, aside from the way the game finished, the first 12 minutes of that second half, it seemed like the Jays really got back to playing offensively. Tyshawn got going, Davion got going. What can you build off of the first 12 minutes of that second
half?
Well,
as I told the team, Tyler, like, I felt like that was as close to getting back to who we are offensively as we've seen in 3 or 4 games. Unfortunately, we kind of settled into trading baskets during that time period. And, you know, our defense the first half, really after the first 4 minutes when we were down 12-2, I thought we really settled in, really did what we needed to do. We forced a lot of turnover. Our activity was really good on the ball. And then they made a lot of jump shots to start that second half, and we really couldn't get it stopped. And once Miles Powell gets going, he's a hard guy to get slowed down.
Martin had 8 in the second half, but when you really wanted to find him, especially down the stretch, Seton Hall was doing a nice job at denying him the basketball.
Yeah, they denied him, and they came with double teams a couple times when he caught it. And, you know, he hasn't been double teamed that much this year. But, you know, he's an important part of what we do. And, you know, I thought his activity was good again. And he blocked a couple critical shots at times when there was penetration into the lane. Like I said, during that, there was an 8-possession stretch where we turned it over 4 times, and it led to, I think, 6 points on the other end. We had pretty good shots when we got shots. You can't have those turnovers when the game's being decided.
Marcus Zagorowski came back today with, obviously, had the pad on his shooting hand. What did you see out of him today coming back from that injury, both offensively?
He showed a lot of guts just playing. I mean, he shouldn't be playing, and he was playing, and you know, you see the effects of it. He missed a layup there late at first half and second half that are shots he's not going to miss. We ran the out-of-bounds play, and they took the first option away, and then he was a second option coming off there, and it slipped off his, you know, off the tape or whatever he had in his hand. So, but we're better with him on the floor. The ball moves better. Guys get easier shots. I thought he showed a lot of guts being out there playing today, I certainly don't fault our guys' effort.
Is that his decision then, whether or not to keep going then with the pain tolerance?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's kind of as tolerated, and obviously it's still painful. It's broke. We have to be careful, especially in practice, to make sure he doesn't get hit. But we have to evaluate how it feels tomorrow after playing 35 minutes in a major college basketball game. So, we'll see how he feels tomorrow and then decide whether he can go again on Wednesday.
Our offense is such that, you know, you're looking for shots when you can get them, and it sometimes doesn't lend itself to a lot in late game situations unless you've got like a Marcus Foster or a Doug McDermott, you know, a guy that you can go to. Is that the thing we're missing, is that go-to guy in those situations where every possession becomes critical?
I think we're still developing that. You know, I think our guys are trying to figure that out, and I think we talked in the pregame, you know, that the guys who you would think it would be, whether it's Mitch or Tyshawn or Davion, you know, Martin was a guy we tried to go to in those situations. They did the thing about a post player. It's pretty easy to take him out of it and make somebody else make a play. you know, I think we're still trying to figure out who that is. And some of those guys that I just mentioned, they've been mirrored in quite a shooting slump. So their confidence in themselves probably isn't at an all-time high. Now, the good thing that came out of today is they saw the shot go in a few times. Davion, Mitch, Tyshawn, and they had been struggling shooting the basketball. So hopefully that's something we can build on as we move into the next game.
All right. Thanks, Mac. Appreciate you coming over.
It's Greg McDermott after his team drops yet another game. Now four losses in a row. All in very similar fashion, where they've had the lead with in the under four timeout, only to drop one. The latest stayed an 81-75 loss to Seton Hall. Hopefully they can reverse this. I'm ready to have fun conversations about this team again. I'm running out of things to say. I think I have completely run out of things to say. I really do. Hopefully this team can get a win tomorrow night against DePaul. Again, Matt DeMarius and I will have you covered for Shoot Around at 6 o'clock to 7:30. John Bishop and Taylor Stormberg will have you covered from Chicago for Creighton and DePaul right here on 1620 The Zone. And then Tim and Ross Farini will have you covered on Blue Jay Overtime directly after the game. Coming up next, Creighton assistant basketball coach Alan Huss. He'll join me here on the Creighton Athletics Hour, 1620 The Zone, 1620thezone.com, and the 1620 The Zone app.
You're listening to the Creighton Athletics Hour on 1620 The Zone, Zone app, and 1620thezone.com. Here's Corey Lathrop.
Welcome back to the Creighton Athletics Hour here on 1620 The Zone. Corey Lathrop here with you until 7 o'clock. But right now, let's head over to the phones and bring our next guest, Creighton assistant basketball coach Alan Huss. Coach, how are you tonight, man?
Doing well. Thanks for having me.
You got it. So are you all settled in Chicago now? Did I catch you mid-bite in some deep dish? Like, what's the current situation with the team right now?
No deep dish pizza all just right, yet. Man. We're on the bus headed to the hotel right now. Just landed here about a half hour ago.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong. So were you ever... Were you here when DePaul played at their old arena?
I was here. No, I was right here only for the new arena. I've been to a game at the old Allstate, but no, I never coached there.
So even without coaching there, what's your impression of the new Wintrust Arena that DePaul's built?
Oh, it's fantastic. It's a great thing for our league. It's a beautiful arena. You know, the next step is obviously them putting a competitive product out there year in and year out to where they can fill it. But they've certainly taken a step that direction this year. And, you know, as they continue to move that direction, they're going to be a force to be reckoned with.
There's no question about that. So, Coach, let's get into what we've seen on the floor these last few games for your team. Four straight losses where your team has had the lead with the under four timeout. Overall, just what are you seeing with your guys right now that's leading to some of these losses?
It's difficult because we've played well enough to win all four games. And that being said, we're 0-4, so the psyche of our team's probably a bit fragile at the moment. Mac's done a good job of trying to keep them up and trying to keep them engaged, especially some of the older guys that probably aren't in roles that maybe they envisioned at the beginning of the season. But for the most part, our guys have done a pretty good job of staying locked, staying focused, and really moving on to the next task at hand, which right now is DePaul and a much improved DePaul team, and that being on top of it all, being on the road. So, you know, we have to figure out a way to close out. We've done some situational things to try to address end-of-game situations. We've done them throughout the year, but we've continued to try to, you know, expand on what we've done and put these guys in positions to simulate some of the things they encounter during games. And, you know, hopefully what we've done from a preparation standpoint will have us prepared enough to crush the ball by one tomorrow night.
Crush them. I love that. Crush them by one. Coach, so how do you go about that as a coach? Because there's no doubt. I mean, it's easy to say, boy, this team's mind just isn't right now, especially when we've seen them when we've seen your guys lose games in very similar fashion four straight times. I mean, how do you as a coach, like, what's the message that you give to your guys to kind of keep their minds right as they move forward?
And I think we just continue to focus on what's in front of us right now, which is, you know, an opportunity to play again. And I think we got five more in the regular season rather than dwell on what's happened, try to get them moving on mentally. And, you know, Mac does a good job of that. He's not a guy that calls them names and screams and cusses at him. He's a guy that's much more, much more into execution and trying to figure out why we haven't done things in the past, get those situations fixed. And then at the same time, try to mentally to there, and they're talented and they've won a lot of games, all of them in there, individually in the past and as a group in the past. And we've just got to kind of revisit that and figure out a way to have some confidence down the stretch of games and not do uncharacteristic things as we start to tighten.
Al Huss is my guest, Creighton assistant coach here on the Creighton Athletics Hour. Coach, a common theme with some of these losses is going through large scoring droughts late in games, and that happened again on Sunday against Seton Hall. For you, after watching some film, outside of just simply missing shots, is there anything that you're seeing this offense do that's just making it difficult for your guys to score?
Well, the tough thing with the game on Sunday was that we didn't get shots. I mean, you can forget about missing. If you don't get them, it's really difficult to score. Mm-hmm. We went a little fast. We kind of ran at the basketball. And, you know, part of what makes our offense difficult to guard is the freedom that we allow our guys to play with throughout the game. And, you know, during the ends of these games, as things have gotten a little bit tighter and the teams have pressed into us a little bit, it's been tough for us to get away from people a little bit. They forced us. They're staying at home on shooters. They forced us by switching ball screens. They forced us into a lot of one-on-one basketball at the end of games. And we've got guys that are capable of winning those matchups, but they just haven't for whatever reason, whether that's because they've been sped up a little bit, whether it's because you've got some younger guys with the ball in their hands at times, or whether it's with the fact that we haven't had a lot of continuity because of different injuries throughout the offseason and the season, or maybe just a combination of all the aforementioned factors. We just haven't been able to execute, and that freedom's worked against us a little bit at times. So, the deal is this: we've been the better team for 36 minutes of each one of those games, and we got to figure out a way to dial into those 36 minutes when things get a little tighter and a little tougher down the last four.
Coach, for the past two seasons, you know, when your team really needed a bucket, normally it was Marcus Foster who had the ball in his hands. He's not here anymore, and this season there doesn't seem to be that, quote, go-to guy late in games. How important do you think it is to have a guy like that in general, and do you think that could lead to, I don't know if confusion is the right word, but maybe just some kind of up in the air with who's going to take that last shot?
I don't know if confusion's the right way to say it, but the one thing that's for sure is when you look back at the guys that have been in those situations, typically those guys, and when you look at other teams, typically those guys are upperclassmen that have reps under their belt as role players. And the tough thing for us is we're talking about most of the guys that are capable of that are guys that, especially on our perimeter, are just, they're young guys that just don't have those reps under the belt. Just when you think it might be Marcus Zagorowski kind of developing into that role, who's not only good at making a play for himself, but it's probably our best at facilitating for others. He goes down with an injury, and then you think maybe Tyshawn could step into that role. He goes down with one. And so it's kind of right when we start to really get solid role definition, and we've gotten to the point where, you know, guys kind of know where they're supposed to be down the stretches. We've had to shuffle guys around, and they've kind of been in some different spots, and they just don't have a lot of reps under their belt. And that probably causes a little bit of, a little bit of unsureness at times, and it's caused us to, you know, just make some uncharacteristic plays down the stretch. By whether it's any of the reasons we talked about earlier, they just haven't been able to execute, and we haven't done a good enough job of simulating those things in practice with guys in spots they're not used to be in. So part of that's on us as well. We're going to keep scrapping and fighting, and you know, we kind of look at it this way: we've got, because we've had all these guys gain all this experience in different places and different spots, we feel like as we start to get healthier down the stretch here, we could be a really dangerous group to deal with, because we've got a group that's had a lot of different guys get a lot of experience in a lot of different places. And as we start to come back together and get guys back fully healthy, we're going to have that experience, whether it's good experience or bad experience, it's going to help us become a better basketball team. going into the end of this year and even into next year.
Coach, I know this is clearly a lot easier said than done, but do you think what might fix a lot of the ills for this team is just simply winning a basketball game?
Absolutely. I mean, just I think you could reduce it even further than that and say just have something in the last 4 minutes happen good. Because it's not our crowd's fault, but gosh, I mean, it sucked the life out of the building. The first time something bad happens, you thought the game was over. Like they've all seen it. They're tired of seeing it. We as a staff are tired of seeing it. The players are tired of seeing it. And it just felt like, you know, first bad play, and it felt like a gut punch that we were never going to recover from. And, you know, that's a tough dynamic to overcome when you've got that type of feeling, that type of psyche with a team just in those circumstances. So I just think if we're going to get into another battle tomorrow night, we just need to have one or two good things happen. Mm. I think we've really tried to help give our guys a few more ideas and a few more helpful things that will help them be a little bit more comfortable down the stretch going forward. Hopefully that'll be enough. And we've continued to try to simulate, put them in late game situations as much as you can possibly simulate that in the practice. And you know, hopefully we'll see one or two things go the right way. And then the funny thing about momentum in college sports and sports in general, but especially in college sports where you're dealing with young people, the funny thing about momentum is when it works both ways. And as soon as we start seeing some good things happen, it can get rolling just as hard the other way.
Alan Huss, Creighton assistant basketball coach, is my guest. You know, you brought up Marcus earlier. I want to know, how's he doing with his hand right now? I mean, I know he fell on it late against Seton Hall. It appeared to be bothering him a little bit.
Yeah, he's good. His pad was cut down to about half the size. It got cut down to about half the size yes. it was.
So he's not wearing a boxing mitt. Tomorrow night,
kind of looked a little bit like the early 1980s offensive lineman,
right?
Hand protectors that the guys wore. No, he's not having to wear that stuff. The pad that the training staff has him in now is a little bit smaller. He said he's able to have a little bit more freedom of movement with his right hand, which was really not there that first game. But I mean, Marcus is such a good player that even when with one hand and not being himself, he's still terrific. I mean, he just makes everybody else better.
Well, there's no question.
He's going to continue to improve every game, and just having him out there and his calming presence is going to help us with some of this because he really is a true point guard that just makes everybody around him better.
Yeah, and he's, I mean, knock on wood, I mean, the kid's only a freshman coach, and I guess you never know exactly how long you're gonna have guys like that in today's college basketball. But just kind of looking at it today on February 19th, how is it almost freeing as a coach knowing that, hey, we have our point guard for the foreseeable future?
Absolutely. I mean, he has so many of the intangibles that it doesn't matter what you drill, what you teach. I was lucky enough to play 4 years with Ryan Sears, who those two are kind of built similarly. And you feel comfortable with him on your team because he's such a pest defensively.
Mm-hmm.
He's such a calming presence offensively. He's a knockdown shooter when he's open, and he doesn't try to do anything he can't do. And when you have a guy like that, especially at, you know, 19 years old, being able to do that, it's really impressive. And I genuinely believe it. I've said it since day one. I know a lot of people on our staff and our players have said it. He's a guy that when he graduates from Creighton, finishes his playing here, he's going to be an all-time great.
Get you out of here on this, Coach. So you got DePaul tomorrow night, who is much improved this season. What, from watching them on film, what impresses you about what Coach Lato's been able to do this year with that group, and how do you think your team matches up with them?
Well, they're the best rebounding team in the league. And when you look at I just spent a lot of time looking at advanced stats, and they've got three guys that are either right at or right above a 10% offensive rebounding rate, which is tremendous. Three of those guys, and they kind of rotate them, Reed and Femi Olujubi, those three guys kind of rotate at the four and five. They're the biggest team up front. They really only commit two guys and two and a half. Sometimes Struess will go as well to the offensive glass.
And it's pretty impressive what they do on the offensive glass for not sending a lot of bodies. Those guys are really effective. So this game's pretty simple. It's going to come down to our ability to win that. Like, we're gonna play some bigger bodies and some smaller bodies at the four position, and we've got to put those guys in space when we've got our fall guy, our small guys out there, and make them move, make them guard on the perimeter. And when we've got our bigger lineup in there, we've got to pound them a little bit. And we've got to win that battle. If we win that battle, we're going to win the game. If we can hold them to one shot and rebound it, we're going to win the game. And yeah. I feel good about it, but we've got to go out and execute our plan now.
Alan Huss, Creighton assistant basketball coach. Coach, thanks so much for the time tonight. Appreciate the conversation, and good luck tomorrow night.
Appreciate you having me, Corey.
Creighton assistant basketball coach Alan Huss. Great stuff there with Coach Huss. If you missed any of that conversation, you can check it out on the podcast a little after 7 o'clock. Well, that's going to do it for me tonight. Thank you all for joining me once again. Be safe. Drive slowly. Nobody's in a hurry. I'm driving home to Papillion right now. I darn well don't want to see you in the ditch after listening to the Creighton Athletics Hour. Don't want that. Nobody wants that. Be safe. If you don't need to go into work tomorrow, trust me. I mean, if you guys need a doctor's note, I'll write it for you. I don't mind impersonating a doctor, at least for one night. I don't mind doing that. All right. Appreciate y'all for listening tonight. Alex Sindelar. No, wait. Matt DeMarinis and I will be on Blue Jay Shootaround tomorrow night from 6 to 7:30. And John Bishop and Taylor Stormberg will have you covered right here on 1620 The Zone for Creighton and DePaul. Good night, everybody.